Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about, last week we talked about this idea of the fear of rejection. And how that has such a stronghold on people, and just all that it entails as far as how you live your life and the fulfillment in life and just your relationships, it affects everything. The fear of rejection, if it's not dealt with, affects everything in your life. Finances, relationships, attitudes, temperaments, everything. So that's why it's important that we understand. Because remember, the week before we talked about insecurity, and that is the root of pride. And so really, that's really what the fear of rejection is rooted in, is pride. It really is. It's you're trying to protect yourself from where you were hurt, and you're trying to medicate yourself from where you were hurt. You're trying to deal with your pain and difficulty your own way. But God says He sent His Word to heal us. And we all need healing. And a lot of people say, well, I haven't ever been hurt like you. Well, yes, you have. I don't care if you came from a house and you had a white picket fence and Leave It to Beaver was your papa. It doesn't matter. There's hurt in every family, and God only God can bring that healing. There's hurt in everybody. We all need forgiveness and we all need healing. And the sooner we come to that realization, the freer we are, and we begin to connect with God in a way and on a level that we never could before. And as we do, it just makes life fulfilling. And no matter what you go through, you know, hey, he told me He would never leave me nor forsake me. I can count on that. I can't tell you how many people told me they would never leave. I can't tell you how many people said they were committed. They were all in. But when the money runs out and whatever they were getting from you runs out, they're gone. See, God never does that. God never walks away. You see, only people do. And see, here's where the problem is. We have the problem with people. And we got to quit blaming people. And there's the enemy works through people. And so when we understand that, it frees us. And we're connected to God in our relationship with Him. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments hang all the law, everything. When those two are being fulfilled, you are in the will of God. And you are becoming who God created you to be. When those two commandments are being fulfilled. And you know, we're not going to get that perfect. We're not going to be perfect in that. But that's what we live for. And that's where fulfillment is loving God and loving people. And how we love people is a measure of how we love God. 1 John says, how can you say you love people? How can you say you love God and you hate your brother? In other words, how you love people is a demonstration of how you love God. So that's the essence. That's what the kingdom of God is really all about, is His love. Faith, hope, and love. Those three. It's working. When that love is in place, the kingdom of God is being advanced. So, And faith works through love, Galatians 5:6. So let's go to our foundational scripture. We've been talking about the heart, and out of our heart springs the issues of life. Our heart is what we center our lives around. And so that's the idea. We want to center our lives around God. Now, we're going to look at our vision. We're going to say our vision, and then we'll have our opening scripture, Proverbs 17:3. And let's do that. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for all that you're teaching us and help us to understand in this time and hour and this day that we live in. You said these days are perilous times, perilous days, dangerous and violent. Well, Father, we know that we're secure in you. So we trust you today. And we trust, Lord, that your word would go forth today and it would not return void. But it will accomplish what you please and what you have sent it for. You sent your word to heal us and to deliver us from all our destruction. So, Lord, let that word have its way today in the hearts of everyone who are tuned in live stream and everyone who's listening and Russell Road Church in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And if there's someone here watching and listening that's never called on your name, that they would call on your name and be saved. Father, we thank you for it, and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so we've been looking at this idea of how we are going to be tested, and that's the way it is. Remember, we talked about temptation. Is that too close? We talked about temptation last week, and 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with that temptation will make a way of escape. So now think about this. The word temptation literally means trial or test. Trial or test. So there's no trial or test. Remember, God tests our hearts. He wants to see where our hearts are. Always. And the Bible says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God is testing our hearts, examining our hearts on a continuous basis. He wants you to be in touch with him all the time. Now, so there's no temptation such as common to man. Remember, temptation is trial or test. So there's no trial or test such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tried or tested beyond what you're able, but with the trial or test will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Remember, the word escape means to step out of. To step out of. So God, when we're in touch with him, he makes a way that when we're tempted with our own desires. Because remember in James 1:14, but each one is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And that word death means separation from God. So there's always, your own desires have a way of causing you to be separated from your relationship with God if you don't get them under control. God wants them under the self-control of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he's doing in his people. And he's building a church, the people, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And remember, the word prevail means to have strength over and influence over. What's trying to have strength and influence over you, you're going to have strength and influence over it when you understand what we're talking about, the will of God, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? God's building his people. Now look. So, the temptation piece. We're all being tempted daily. We're going to be tempted in our relationships. We're going to be tempted how we respond to our children, how we're responding with our spouses, with how we're responding in the community with people, how we're doing our taxes, how we're doing, all these areas, we're going to be tempted. God always makes a way of escape, always, that you may be able to bear. And so that's the good news. And so we're going to talk about that again today. And we're looking at this area of the fear of rejection. And I want to tell you that I have been healed of the fear of rejection.
Well, who are you?
Well, I'm just letting you know, I really believe I've been healed of the fear of rejection. I'm just pretty conscious of that. And I just have a, I don't know. I just really believe I've been healed of it. And because of that, it frees me to help people and to encourage people. And I see it in my own life. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit today. How when you have a lot of pain, remember, you've all heard my story about my mom being put into a mental institution when I was 5. And that was very painful for our family. And my dad got us around, and when that happened, and got the Bible out and read the 23rd Psalm to us. I believe that was God speaking through my dad. And he doesn't even know it. My dad didn't even realize it. My dad was just doing what the Navy chaplain taught him to do when they were being bombed on the aircraft carrier. So he told us, he says, yeah, when we're being bombed, the chaplain said, say the 23rd Psalm. So he was in a very difficult place in his life. His wife was put into an institution, and he didn't know what to do. He had children, so he got us in the living room and read the 23rd Psalm. But he didn't know my little heart was good soil. It was good soil. It says he sent his word to heal us. My dad read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I could say it every time after that. It got in my heart. My son, I even taught my son the 23rd Psalm. Because of that moment, my son was quoting the 23rd Psalm at age 3. He called up his grandparents. The Lord is my shepherd. He could say it all. I'm just trying to help you see something. That something was planted in me early on. And that's the way this word works. It works that way. And children's hearts are good soil. There's a saying that says, someone cried, where must I plant a seed when it is sown, that it will bear the most fruit when it is full grown? The master heard as he replied and smiled, go plant it for me in the heart of a child. I'm telling you, folks, that's what you're doing. Your children, your grandchildren, you're planting seeds in there that's going to affect them for the rest of their life, either for the good or for the negative. And there's tests going on in every household. How are you responding? How are you acting? How are you treating your spouse? You know, we should be growing in our affection with each other. In our, you know, Olivia catch me and Donita in the kitchen hugging up on each other. And she'll be smiling, you know. She didn't do that at first. But she sees that's real. You see what I'm trying to help you see? Something's being planted in her, so it can free her to have that later. Are you getting that? That's really how it is. Here's the thing. You know what? I believe that every blended family, this is the answer, what I'm talking about today. When we get into who we are, know who we are, and we begin to live out of the nature that God has, and we're born again. Remember, we're born again. We've been created, Ephesians 4:24, in righteousness. We have a new nature, and it's God and His righteousness. So that's what we're to live out of now. And when we live out of that, it starts to plant things and sow things in our lives, and then we begin to eat from the fruit of what it planted. Now, so fear of rejection. Some people, you ever get around people that are overly sensitive? I mean, you got to walk on eggshells around them all the time. You can rest assured that's a fear of rejection. They become self-absorbed, self-centered. Everything revolves around them. Everything. They are overly dependent on the approval and acceptance of other people. Of other people. Folks, we got to get rid of that. We want to be a God pleaser. We're not a people pleaser. Amen. And actually, I can see that on people, and it's really unattractive when you see people who are so self-absorbed and they're trying to protect themselves all the time, and they're short-tempered, and they'll speak off the top of their head, and it's very unattractive. Now, when you're a people pleaser, you will do anything to gain the people's affections and the people's approval. See, Proverbs 29 says, the fear of man is a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be safe. See, when you have that fear of rejection, you have a fear of man. You have a fear of what they're going to think about you, how they're going to act towards you. You want to be a people pleaser. But you see, you can't be a people pleaser and be a God pleaser. See, that's why it says in Galatians 1:9, Paul said, if I still pleased men, I would no longer be a servant of Christ. So the idea is we want to be a God pleaser, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're faith people. We want to be people who please God. Now, people who are people pleasers, they will compromise their morals and their standards in order to avoid rejection. I remember when I was a kid in high school, I remember doing things and I really didn't even want to do it. I remember getting in the cars and, you know, the smoke was so thick in there that you couldn't even see the people in it hardly. And it wasn't cigarette smoke. Yeah, that was before Christ. I was in high school. But I remember it go through my mind, why are you even doing this? I knew it was wrong. I just wanted to fit in. You see that? I had that fear of rejection. And that's why I would drink and you know, get drunk in the shed. I had that fear of rejection because of what had happened to me early on. You can say what you want to say. That's the truth. I'm letting you know I've been healed of a fear of rejection. That's why I can come up and talk to you about Jesus. You reject me, you're just rejecting Jesus. I'm not going to beat you over the head with it, but I'm going to tell you about it eventually. Eventually, that's going to be in the conversation if you get around me too long. We're going to be talking about the Lord. Amen? All right. Now, here's the idea. We must base our lives on God's love and God's word. That's how we want to live our lives. God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. You see, He is love. He doesn't love. He is love. And so He created us in love. So that's what we were created for. And so our greatest fear, if our greatest need is love, our greatest fear is rejection. So when we understand that and begin to grow and mature in our relationship with God, our world changes. If you're going to overcome rejection, we must base our lives on God's perfect love. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. And that word perfect means mature. Mature. You're maturing in the things of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The word man there speaks of maturity. And he's in the love chapter. He's talking about maturing in the love of God. When I start to mature in the love of God, my perception and my reaction and my responses are going to change because they are filtered through the love of God. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it talks about, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, God, he will never leave you. He won't leave you physically, and he won't abandon you. Never. That's just how it is. That's the way it is. If you love people and you base your life on how people love you, you're always going to be hurt. You're always going to be discouraged because they're going to let you down. You want to make sure that you are trying to grow and loving people who used to hurt you. See, the people that used to hurt me can't hurt me anymore. It just doesn't work that way. It's not because they're bad people trying to hurt me. They just don't understand yet. But when I have the love of God in me and I'm connected with him, I just don't get hurt. It protects me. It protects me. Now, that's why it says in Jude 1:21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. The word keep means guard, shield, protect yourselves in the love of God. See, this is all has to do with your heart. It all has to do with your heart. Because your heart is focused on God and centered around him. You're gonna be keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, God's love heals the spirit of rejection. In Romans 8, he said, I did not receive the spirit of fear, but I have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, I have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has shown me that it's not a spirit of rejection. It's a spirit of adoption. I've been adopted into God's family. And when you're adopted into God's family, that's because they want you. See, when somebody adopts you, they don't do that on accident. They do that on purpose. And he wanted me and accepted me for just how I was. And that's the way God is. He wants you just the way you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. He wants you just the way you are. And he will begin to help you and grow and mature in loving people. Now, remember, Psalms 107 says he sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all our destruction. Now, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We talked about this last week a little bit, and I'm going to extrapolate a few more things from this. How are we healed from the spirit of rejection? If you carry the spirit of rejection, it's going to control your life. It will control your life. How are you healed? He sent his word. And I'm going to help you see this. I'm going to help you see this. Watch this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, you know what? This is Peter. This is Peter writing here. Peter had a problem with rejection. Peter had a problem with pleasing men. They said, you're one of his, and Peter denied it. He denied that he was even a disciple of Christ. He denied it and started cussing out a young girl. And now look at him. Now look what he's writing here. That's what I'm trying to help you see. You see, he got rid of that spirit of fear, and now he's in the love of Christ. Now watch this. And the grace of God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. The word knowledge means knowing God. Knowing God. Through knowing him, through knowing of him, who called us by glory and virtue. You see, what's he call us by? Glory and virtue. His grace and peace has been multiplied. An abundance, a copious supply of grace and peace. Now, he says he calls us by glory and virtue in this relationship with God. What's the word glory mean? Well, God originated and intended. The word virtue It means moral what? Excellence. Moral excellence. You see, adultery, fornication, that's not what he calls us into. That's way far away from what he calls us to. Moral excellence. The word virtue means moral excellence and righteousness. That's what it means, righteousness. So we're going to talk a little bit about righteousness today. But stay with me, stay with me. What's righteousness mean? It means equity in character and action. Equity in character and action. Now stay with me. Now, this is what we've been called up by, remember? By glory and virtue. Glory, what God originated and intended. Virtue, moral excellence, and righteousness. Stay with me. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. That's God's word. He's given us these promises. That through these, through what? Through his promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The word lust there means deceitful desires. It doesn't mean to lust after a woman or a man or pornography. It means that, but it means so much more than that. It means your own desires, your own deceitful desires. But each one is drawn away by his own desires. So here it is. You can't escape the world if you're always trying to handle it with your own desires. Now, it says that by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that's his word. You know, it talks about in Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the wheat, the seed. The sower sows the seed. And then it says it's some by wayside, some by the wayside. Wayside is ground that says it's doubtful and it's unbelief. So it's doubtful and unbelief. So that's not good ground. See, our hearts are the ground he's talking about there. So here's what a wayside says. Wayside ground says this. They don't believe it. And they don't believe it could ever happen. Somebody has an addiction. They think, well, I could never be free of this. That's your own doubt and your own unbelief keeping you from what God is trying to get to you. And then there's stony ground. Stony ground is they hear the word and they receive it with gladness, but immediately the devil comes and takes it out of their heart. You see that? And then it talks about thorny ground. Thorny ground is the cares of this life. And the deceitfulness of riches come in and choke out the word of God. Sometimes we have so much going on in our lives, and our lives are so cluttered that we can't, and Jesus is just over here a little part of our life. He's not the priority in our life. And we can't get what we need from him. So the cares, our anxieties are about what's going on around. It keeps us from the healing word that Jesus is trying to get to us.
Save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Say